Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Happy to have you on board for this Saturday morning. We will talk some stakes action down at Tampa in a few moments, but also a little bit later on, we'll look at some stakes at Gulfstream. A little handicapping from our friend Jason Blewett. It was announced yesterday that he's going to join the Horse Player Now team and do some of their Buzz Report handicapping. But, of course, he's also with West Point Thoroughbred, so we'll talk a little West Point. I know he was out actually watching some of the West Point horses work this morning over at Payson, so we'll talk that as well with Jason a little bit later on. But as I say, we'll talk some Tampa top of the show because they have a nice stakes card today. So I reached out to Ren Carruthers to join us. She, of course, is the handicapper on the Tampa Signal in the afternoon. Ren, good morning.
Hey, Seth, how are you doing today?
Very, very good. Cold up here, though, as I drove in this morning. -1 on the car thermometer.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay, well, hopefully you've got a good coat and a nice hat and scarf, and you can look styling while you're freezing.
I don't know about the look, but I don't care about the look in this set. I'm just putting on whatever's working for me because, yeah, it was chilly this morning. We're going to take a look at some Tampa action, and we haven't talked to you since Tampa last season, so yeah. I just want a little setup of the Tampa season also. But before we do that, I tend to, the night before when I have guests on, look at the Twitter feed. So I was scrolling down your Twitter feed last night and came up with, I think the guys have the video, new dog in the Carruthers household.
Oh,
and I like this. But as I scrolled further down, I read a post that said you were debating, and after years you did some research. I'm not a pet owner, but I like dogs. I like cats. But I never thought about it. I guess you probably do have to really think about it before you make that commitment. What was the research like, and how did you wind up with a Great Dane?
Well, I mean, they're basically like a giant horse. So there you go with that. It's funny. No, for sure. But I will say we have a 3-year-old daughter, so that's been a little bit of a to-do, if you know what I mean.
As I say, the video there, very cute, so I'm sure it's been a fun addition to the family. And yeah, it's like having a horse in that. It really, and he already looks big. It's only going to go up from here with the Great Dane.
You know how it goes, man. It's like, hopefully we get big with the picks here too, because we like to do it all big, right?
It's exactly. That's what it's all about. As I say, I wanted to set up the Tampa meet a little bit before we get specifically into this afternoon. I went to Equibase yesterday and pulled up the stats, and I love Tampa in the wintertime. I love the turf racing. I think there's some nice value down there, and I think It's one of those tracks where you can kind of, when you're handicapping, concentrate a little on the human side, and I'll get your take. Yesterday, went up, as I say, on Equibase and looked up the stats. Jockey side, really tight on the top side. Pablo Morales, and then, of course, Sammy Camacho and Antonio Gallardo, both right up there as well.
Yeah.
On the trainer side, Gerald Bennett always does very well. His numbers are maybe a little lighter, but he's still on the top of the list so far at Tampa. But when you're handicapping on the human side of things, what are you looking at?
Well, I tend to try to ignore connections as much as one can. I mean, we're all going to be swayed a little bit. If I'm between a couple of horses and I see that, you know, Pablo or Gallardo, when those guys is up, you know, I might, then that will tip the balance in that horse's favor. Same thing with the trainer side of it all. I mean, yeah, like you said, Pablo, I mean, he's just been riding lights out, like 26%. Yeah. Ridiculous. And he just has a way of riding these horses with confidence and moving them up. Because it's not even that he's necessarily had the best horse in the race. He just, gifted riders can do that.
Yeah, and that's why I say it's worth taking a look just with guys who do something like that. And, you know, you may not wind up with them, but as you're looking down the list, at least you have to consider. Speaking of jocks, and let's shift our attention now to the stakes action today. The fifth race will kick things off with the Pasco. We're looking at 3-year-old stakes here early, a couple of 3-year-old stakes, and then another one a little bit later on for older. But in the Pasco, we're looking at the 3-year-olds going 7. And as I say, talking about jockeys, Chantel Sutherland overriding at Tampa this afternoon. And I said, going back 2 or 3 months, a little career resurgence for Chantel down at Gulfstream, where she was riding really well. And it was a little bit intriguing to see what would happen when the championship meet rolled around, because then the big guns come to town. But I think she's held her own over on the east coast of Florida.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to see her at Tampa this afternoon. She's on Cyber Viking in the Pasco. But I pulled up a replay, maiden special weight race from December 23rd. Provocateur for Todd Pletcher came over to Tampa and won pretty nicely that day. Provocateur will be the number six horse here. He's interesting to me, obviously. Caton for Ralph Nix coming off a win in a stake at Tampa will clearly take a lot of action. I think Cyber Viking is a player, too, with Chantel Sutherland scheduled to ride. What are your thoughts on the Pasco?
Well, those are all my top three. I think between the Todd Pletcher factor and the My Racehorse factor with Provocateur,
yeah,
that he's actually going to go off favorite. So, the thing with him is, it sounds so cliche, but it is the who did he beat cliche. That field was, I never like to denigrate any horse, but that field was not strong. But he did beat them by 4.5 lengths for that reason. And there's no reason to think that he can't continue to move forward. But the Belmont field wasn't the strongest either that he was in against where he pressed the pace. I will say he is a horse that I think is well-meant. Obviously, when you purchase a yearling for $600,000, there's pedigree there, because not only on the surface of it that you can see being by Into Mischief, but he's from the family of like Albertus Maximus and King Charlemagne and all these big-time horses. So he's one that can definitely continue to progress. And even though he hasn't beat much yet, it doesn't mean that he can't be live here and go forward to beat horses of quality. But that being said, I did go with Catton. Is it possible that he still goes off favorite? He was the 2-1 morning line favorite. Yeah, it's possible. I don't think he will, like I said, for those reasons I already outlined. So any little bit of value you feel you can get, I think you grab onto that. Catton is a horse who, once they put those blinkers on him, he just kind of amped up that game. We saw him put in that Shodo performance behind Octane in the In Reality Stakes. Then he comes in off the bench and, you know, goes out 2.5 lengths in front of Lightning Larry. That horse came back to put up like an 83 buyer or something like that in the Limehouse Stakes. So it really qualified the win there for me. And also we saw Concrete Glory in the inaugural stakes. Now, Concrete Glory, I mean, I know that he was well beaten that day, but he was a horse that was well met. He was going into the inaugural off two back-to-back daylight, like crushing scores before that race. And then you saw he went ahead and ran second to Cyber Viking in Cyber Viking's December 15th race there at Gulfstream Park. So that's another reason why I think Cyber Viking should be in this conversation. A lot of these horses, I think maybe all of them, are getting first-time Lasix today. I'd have to double-check that. But that all being said, I think Catton, he's got the right running style. I think we're going to see contested pace, but he'll be the one to take advantage. And you do have, as we're talking about jockeys, Camacho up again for Ralph Nix.
Yeah, as you kind of alluded to, I'm going to be interested to see how the odds do shake out, because the My Racehorse factor may play into the Provocateur taking some money.
There have been some My Racehorse horses in at Tampa, and you just watch that board.
Understandably, with the micro shares, there are a lot of players in, and everybody wants a few bucks on their horse, so it's understandable. All right, let's turn the page to the Gasparilla. These are the three-year-old fillies going 7 furlongs, and here I pulled up a replay going back to the Sandpiper on December 4th. We're going to look at number one, Strategic Bird, getting it done. Also, Divine Charger, the number two, runs second. They're both back in here this afternoon as players. Out Fox for Bill Mott comes over off a couple of nice state-bred stakes wins, restricted wins over at Gulfstream in that Sire Series over there. And again, Goddess of Fire for Todd Pletcher. Off the last effort, it's hard to have a lot of confidence, but I think this is a horse that's maybe better than we saw in the Tempted, and I think we'll take some action just because of Pletcher. Your thoughts on the Gasparilla?
Well, she's actually my top pick because I watched those replays back. Her debut, obviously, she went out there and she won that, and it was not a bad field. The Pocahontas Stakes, I felt like in my notes here, she had a bit of an awkward start from the gate, And then you're in going up against like Hidden Connection and all, you know, a really good field there in the Pocahontas. You got that long stretch also. And then at Belmont in the Tempted, this was another one where I felt like she got pinched back early and it just kind of messed her up. And the winner there, I mean, it was Gerrymander, and Gerrymander was coming out of that 7 1/4 length of feet, but still to Echo Zulu in the Grade One Frisette. And so you also had the second and third place runners then running third and first in the Grade Two Demoiselle. So she's actually been in against some tough fields. It looks to me also like she's just a horse, green, but not green in the way that we usually think of green, as in being like keyed up and amped up. More green in that she needs to be asked. She needs to like be coaxed into the stride. And once she gets it, there is talent there. There is. So I think this little bit of time away, they've probably been working with her on that. This filly, Mineshaft, is the sire, the dam there, stakes winner. The dam's also the dam of multiple Grade One winner Mind Control, who is by Stay Thirsty. So you got that AP India sire line again. So she's got the pedigree there. Now she's had some experience, some time away. She's coming back with Lasix also. And so I just feel like this is a horse with upside to her who's actually been in against some tough fields. Now, talking about Outfox, yeah, I mean, she's crushed in two of the Florida Sire Series stakes there. State bred competition. These were not the strongest of fields again, but she did crush them. But maybe this is now a scenario where she steps up against horses who are a bit better, a bit more well-meant today, and she could still win, but she doesn't win by 9 lengths. She wins by a length. You know what I'm saying? She did have that first debut start there where she ran third behind Echo Zulu, again, well distanced, but still. So there is reason still to like her. The thing with Divine Charger, I'll give her a little bit of a pass in terms of the fact that she should have gone past yeah. Strategic Bird there in the end. She should have. But if you look for the excuse could have been that at the start of the race, she banked to her right out of the gate and hit with the horse who were outside. And so that little bit, and then going up and trying to go along with that pace, which was 44-4, I think it just kind of burned her up. Because the pedigree there, it wants distance. I mean, your bye will take charge, and you're out of pulpit mare. And so, you know, the other thing I will say for her is in that first dirt start that she had where she got the lead and then she got passed late by Girl with the Dream, that horse is a Brad Cox runner who went on to win stakes race there at the fairgrounds, put up a 76 buyer figure. I will say the interesting long shot to me is Ha Penny, not necessarily as a win contender, but maybe one you want to use in your exotics because she's never gotten faster yet. She started out in synthetic, then she wins there in the slop. And yeah, her pedigree likes that type of going, so you could say that moved her up potentially, but who knows, she could be even better on dirt. The only thing is, of course, it's a little bit of a pause where you see a filly by Medaglia d'Oro out of an Uncle Mo mare who won the Grade Three Top Flight going for only $50,000 as a yearling, but we've seen horses go under the radar before.
Yeah, it, you get the price, I'm sure, on that one. Comes in with a little bullet workout, brings the jock over from Gulfstream. So there are some things that kind of point to that one, as you say, as a little bit of a price maybe underneath. All right, let's move on to a little bit later on. As I said, there's some older horses stakes action today as well at Tampa. That happens in the Wayward Less for the fillies and mares going 1 1/16. I pulled up the optional claimer allowance from December 17th at Tampa. It'll be the number 9 horse, Nantucket Red, getting it done over Striking Chrome. They're both back on Saturday in the Wayward Lass, and both look like players. All worthy, I think, for Safi Joseph, coming over off a third and a stake at Gulfstream last time. It's interesting. Don't Get Cozy seems to be in some pretty good form for Antonio Sano, also coming over from Gulfstream. What are your thoughts in the Wayward Lass?
I love it because you picked out a replay of a horse I'm picking on top. I'm going with Striking Chrome on top. I know we're switching now back to the dirt, but I think this is a horse that she's shown that she can flip surface and still hold form, irrespective. I think she gets the edge here with the 1 1/16 distance because she's never been out of the money trying it. She's a beautiful horse for Gerald Bennett, by the way. She looks the type to be in this kind of condition. And like you said, I mean, we've already seen her coming out of that neck second finish to Nantucket Red. I don't like Nantucket Red as much here on the dirt and in this scenario, but I do like Striking Chrome. We also see some backlash in there. If you like Don't Get Cozy, who's 5-2 versus Striking Chrome 10-1 on the morning line, we do have a bit of the common opponent game going on, because if you look, and granted it was on a wet, fast track, but if you look back to that August 18th start for Striking Chrome, which was off the bench where she got the lead, she got caught by Sweet Wilhelmina there in the end, lost by a head. Sweet Wilhelmina is a horse like insane form there, because that she was picking up her fourth consecutive win in that start. She went on to like pick up more than she was second before she went into Glass Slipper there with Don't Get Cozy, where she beat Don't Get Cozy by 3¼ lengths. So Striking Chrome, she definitely should be in the conversation. I think it's crazy that she's 10-1 on the morning line there. I am going to use All Worthy. My only concern with her is the distance, the two turns. Yes, the times she tried it, she was in the Grade One Cotillion, and she had a bad start, and then your winner's Clairiere.
Yeah.
And then she was in the Grade 3 Monmouth Oaks, where, I mean, she ran well enough. The one thing that gives me more hope is the fact that she did run so well in the Charlestown Oaks, because, yes, 7 furlongs, but that's a two-turn, yeah, 7 furlongs. And that field was insanely good with our Adios Jersey in there, Pauline's a Pearl, and then Allworthy actually finished better than Caramel Swirl, who's a really nice horse. And so, yeah, I think you still have to give All Worthy her due respect there. But I'm actually going to try for another price to complete my top three with Serene. This is another horse who's going back off the turf now onto the main track. The only other time she's been on dirt is when grass races have come off, but she's been able to put up big figures on it when she has, and she has a very flexible pedigree. Being by Tappet, the mom herself was flexible. The mom was actually stakes placed in the when it was a Grade One, the Chandelier, and so you do have that surface flexibility. And that mom is also a half sister to Arkansas Derby winner and Kentucky Derby runner up Bodie Meister. So plenty of reason to think Serene can take to the dirt here, and she can obviously get the distance.
Yeah, you're right on the odds. I'm going to be interested to see, because I put Striking Chrome on top myself. 10-1 for that one, 10-1 for Nantucket Red. The race replay we watched, they were a neck apart, but it, yeah, was on the turf. And you're right, Striking Chrome, however, has some dirt form, whereas Nantucket Red really doesn't. So they're both, yeah, at 10-1. I think Striking Chrome, I'll be happy if we get to 10-1, but I think we're going,
right,
to come down a few points from that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we will keep our fingers crossed, however, and hope for as close to that as we can get. Ren, appreciate the conversation and the look today. It is Sky Festival Day at Tampa with, again, a couple of nice three-year-old stakes. It's that time of year where we like to ramp up and think about Derby and Oaks and horses that may be headed in that direction, or some of the other three-year-old stakes coming up later in the year, and kicks it off down at Tampa with some of that action this afternoon. So we appreciate the conversation. Enjoy your commentary on the races every day at
Thank
Tampa.
You.
And of course, during the season, lots of great stakes action still coming up, so we'll check in again.
Thank you so much, Seth. We'll talk to you then. In the meantime, all the best on all your bets.
Sounds good. Ren Carruthers from Tampa. Again, nice stakes action on this Saturday afternoon. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do a little news and notes a little bit later on. Jason Blewett, stay tuned.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. We have a couple of minutes before we'll get to Jason Blewett. And as I say, some news and notes. Going back to Thursday, if you were watching the action at Aqueduct, Thursday's feature was an optional claimer. Green Light Go was in there. You might remember Green Light Go. Early in the career, for those of us up in this neck of the woods, won the Saratoga Special for Jimmy Jerkins off a maiden breaker on Independence Day back in 2019. So there was some nice promise early in the career. Ran third in the Swale early in the three-year-old season. Subsequently, last year, only had a couple of starts. 2020, only had a couple of starts as that three-year-old. The Swale, and then ran in the Roar and ran second. Those were the only two starts as a three-year-old. Last year, as a four-year-old, had six starts. Some of those were under the care of Jerry Hollendorfer down at Oaklawn and at Monmouth. Subsequently has gone back into the barn of Jimmy Jerkins and looked to kind of rebound as a five-year-old in the fall high weight, running a good second in the start prior to Thursday. And Thursday, when I was in here handicapping, I said that fall high weight might have set this horse up very nicely going forward, and subsequently did. Green Light Go won that optional claimer on Thursday at Aqueduct with a 101 buyer, and Jimmy Jerkins said the game plan now is to try the Grade 1 Carter in April. I like to quote Dave Grinning's article in the Racing Forum. They're headed to the Carter in April, but according to Jimmy Jerkins, quote, unless Life Is Good or one of those horses shows up. I don't know whether they're what one of those horses might be. I think Life Is Good maybe in a little category by himself. I'm not sure the Carter would be on his agenda. Maybe, but I think more they would point if they're thinking that they met Mile. So I think Green Light Go is probably okay. But then a little further down, I think he said that they'd have one more race before that. Yeah, down here at the bottom of the article, maybe look at the General George at Laurel or the Stymie locally for Green Light Go. But again, it was a nice performance for Green Light Go on Thursday, getting the optional claimer. I mentioned it earlier. I will mention it again. There is a mandatory today in the Rainbow Six out at Santa Anita, and they are expecting potentially $4 million in there. So again, the Rainbow Six this afternoon at Santa Anita, that is a mandatory. Pick Six carryover tomorrow at Aqueduct. And again, if you weren't tuned in earlier, no racing at Aqueduct today because of the cold temperatures. But the carryover going into tomorrow's card at Aqueduct is $42,000 for their Pick Six. So keep that in mind if you're handicapping today for tomorrow. You have that to look forward to. And again, we had another little hiccup with the track surface at Laurel, but hopefully it looks like things are back in line there. They've been playing around with the surface a little more. But given that they lost some days down at Laurel, it was announced that they will add some Thursdays. If you like Maryland racing, I like Laurel this time here. I think there's some nice stakes action and whatnot. They will be adding five of the next Thursdays to Laurel. They're kicking up the purses as well to kind of make up for the situation with the track surface. So, again, keep that in mind. Laurel will be added on Thursdays. When we're in here doing the handicapping show in the afternoons, we'll probably have a little Maryland racing over the next few Thursdays. All right, we'll take another break. When we come back, Jason Blewett, West Point Thoroughbreds, and now HorsePlayerNow.com. We'll talk a little handicapping. We'll talk some West Point horses and more right after this. Stay tuned.
Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, talking to our friend Jason Blewett, West Point Thoroughbreds. Been with them for a while now, but the press release came out a couple of days ago, or yesterday, I guess it was, that Jason will be joining our friend Jeremy Plant, horseplayernow.com. He'll be doing a little handicapping for the Buzz Report. Jason, good morning.
Yeah, what's up, Seth, and everybody in the Capital OTB region? My greetings, my happy new year from northern Fort Lauderdale, where things are good down here. There's no complaints in my neck of the woods.
We got a number of things to talk about because you were over watching some West Point horses and maybe saw another one of interest that we'll talk about a little bit later on. But let's just start out talking a little bit about your relationship now with horseplayernow.com and what we can expect. Are you going to kick in with the handicapping, it sounds like, with the Buzz Report in a couple of weeks or so?
Yeah, absolutely. Rightfully so. Pegasus Day is going to start our 2022 entries with the Horse Player Now, project. And look, I've known Jeremy Plunk for a long time, and obviously, he's been a great friend and fan of racing over the years and a very smart guy. And he approached me maybe a month ago and said, hey, look, you know, I know you're not really handicapping publicly anymore with the West Point gig. If you want, I would love for you to join the team and cover basically East Coast racing, Saturdays only, which is appealing to me. As much as I love racing, I don't miss handicapping every single race on one particular circuit. So to be able to kind of just cherry pick whatever track is the marquee track at that time of the year, whether it's New York in the spring, summer, and fall, or Florida during the winter months, that was appealing to me. And to kind of get re-engaged and doing something like this and working with a great team with Jeremy and his buddies was also a chance for me to get re-engaged with the game, and it's another reason for me to pay attention and to make sure I'm dialed in on those Saturday afternoons when you've got the better horses running. So I'm looking forward to joining the team, and again, that'll start on the on Pegasus Day, which, believe it or not, I mean, we're 2 weeks out.
Yeah, and give me your opinion, because we were on the handicapping show earlier, and Brian Addo and I were talking, and we were talking a little bit about the anticipation. I can't remember in recent years anticipation like has been building up really since the end of the Breeders' Cup, because both of these horses, Life is Good and Nix Go, were kind of, it was possible that they would head to the Pegasus after the Breeders' Cup, and then it started to firm up. And now we have two superstars with the same running style. And I'll tie in, you were out at Payson this morning, and we pulled up on your Twitter feed a little workout from one of the players, so you can give us a little update maybe on Life is Good. But talk about your feeling of the anticipation coming up for the Pegasus, Life is Good versus Nix Go.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some great editions of the Pegasus, and you've had, I mean, when you go through the short list of winners, I mean, it's a race that doesn't have all that much history, but still, from the Gun Runners and the Bricks and Mortar on the Turf, and that first rendition back in 2017, where you had Arrogate and California Chrome facing off. You know, no disrespect to Gun Runner, who is probably a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I think of City of Light, how great he was, and electrifying, closing down his career a few years back. We have not had the kind of matchup that we'll be settling into to enjoy in that anticipation since, I think, Chrome and Arrogate, where you've got the Breeders' Cup Mile, Dirt Mile winner in Life is Good, knocking heads, obviously, with the Surefire Horse of the Year and BC Classic champion in Nix Go. That is, you know, the matchups, horses like this don't come along all that often, and to get them in the same starting gate, the exact same race in this day and age, seems like that's even rarer. So, yeah, really pumped. And, I mean, even from that short condensed clip that I put on Twitter, Life is Good is training as good as a horse can possibly train going into this race for Todd Pletcher. I mean, he looked unbelievable this morning and came off the track, and as they say, couldn't have blown out a match. He was very impressive in that breeze this morning, and he was the first on the track, in fact, at about 6:30 a.m. when work started.
Yeah, and just with the pace scenario, it's just so intriguing. And as they say, I don't remember anticipation like this amongst racing fans. Really looking forward to it in a couple of weeks, which, again, perfect weekend to kick off your new gig down there. But before we get into it, we'll do a little handicapping with you. There are a couple of stakes today at Gulfstream, so we'll take a look at that. But let's save that a little bit, and let's get into some West Point conversation here. As, again, you're a horse player now, the Buzz Report is a little bit of extra because you're with West Point Thoroughbreds now. And I'm going to pull up because I had Terry Finley on a couple weeks ago, a week after the Malibu. And as you're a West Point guy, I'd just like to get your, I can see your reaction already, the reaction of racing fans all over. It was an incredible performance in the Malibu. We'll look at the stretch run, the incredible 118 buyer figure, the third of improved three buyer figures. Could he validate what the first two races had shown? He did. It was phenomenal. I'm going to be interested to see the Eclipse Awards, where he winds up in the sprinter category, because he got my check mark. I didn't think there was anybody else that had really done anything outstanding to take away from this performance. And I would love to know your thought as a West Point guy, but what you heard just from other partners who maybe weren't involved in Flightline, but I think just being involved in West Point and having that happen, what was your reaction to the Malibu?
Yeah, my reaction was like everybody else's. That was a special performance from a very special horse. And if you're lucky, a horse that comes along once in your lifetime to be involved with. And even like I was, you know, talking to Terry Finley 2 days after the Malibu. And like now I'm smiling when I said it to Terry. I said, you can probably hear I'm smiling on the phone as I'm saying this to you. But even on like a personal and maybe somewhat selfish note, to come along and switch careers and to be closing in on my first 1 year anniversary within the company with West Point Thoroughbreds, to kind of step in just as this horse is a couple of months away from his career debut last April out at Santa Anita Park, and now to be with the company to have this special horse is really, really no words. It's hard to articulate how cool that is. And clearly, you know, I've never lost that wide-eyed I guess, passion and fandom that I had 30 years ago, my first time ever at Belmont Park when I got hooked on racing. So, you know, my feeling is like it's like yours, Seth, and everybody else watching. You live to see fast horses and great horses, and ultimately Flightline looks like he could be at this point a great horse, and thrilled to see what he can do throughout 2022. And I know in racing terms, now to Belmont Stakes Day is like a century plus. That's a long time away between now and the first Saturday in June. But, you know, first thought I had after checking out Life is Good and that work this morning, even though he's 2 weeks away from that mega showdown, an epic showdown against Nick's Go, I was just going, man, I just hope things work out. Whether Life is Good wins in 2 weeks or he gets beat in a big effort where he's beaten by Nick's Go, I just hope things pan out and everybody stays healthy and everybody can be at the top of their game. And you can have in the Metropolitan, the Met Mile, one of the greatest races on the planet. You can have Flightline against Life is Good, because I think those two horses, especially with their brilliance around one turn, that could be a Met Mile showdown for the ages.
That would have, again, similar anticipation to what we're talking about for the Pegasus. And I was just reading racing form the last day or two. Flightline's been out on the track doing a little work, and they're looking for a race maybe between the Met Mile, John Sadler, and he was talking maybe go to Oaklawn and try two turns, which would be a little bit interesting as well. So we'll see what's up next. But yeah, you guys, congratulations to everybody at West Point on having that one in the barn. Went down your Twitter feed yesterday and picked up some other West Point horses. Just give us some updates on who we might look for in the future. And I'll start out with, because you had a picture of Decorated Invader, who is near and dear to the Saratoga crowd. He won the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago, a course up at Woodbine, won the Grade 1 Summer. So Decorated Invader, a nice Grade 1 winner, back on the work tab.
Back on the work tab, in fact, yeah, that's right, Seth. Had his second official breeze yesterday morning at about 6:40 a.m. up at Payson Park, which is in Indiantown, Florida. It's about 90 miles north of Gulfstream, maybe just under 100 miles north of Gulfstream Park. And Christoph, very happy with him. We brought Decorated Invader back off the bench last year in April of 2021. And I think he ran three times as a four-year-old and did not show, just wasn't at the level he had carried himself during his three-year-old season and even a two-year-old campaign when he won a Grade 1 up at Woodbine when he won the Summer Stakes. And Christoph said, I know this horse better than the back of my hand. We're not detecting anything through x-rays or anything like that, any sound, but there's something amiss. So we opted to just put him back on the shelf. And Christoph was really, I mean, an ear-to-ear grin telling me and just basically talking about Decorated Invader up at Payson yesterday. He's thrilled to have him back in the stable naturally, and the horse is sound and he's healthy. And I'm hoping that three-race series or cycle as a four-year-old will be like a little blip on the radar, and we'll get the real Decorated Invader when he launches his five-year-old season, likely in April, probably right around when the turf season starting in New York at Aqueduct.
Sounds good. Any other West Point runners we should be looking for?
Yeah, we've got one running later today at Oaklawn Park, a three-year-old colt by Midnight Storm, who's trained by Dallas Stewart, and his name is Magnolia Midnight. I call him Black Beauty. I mean, he's like almost a sleek jet black horse colt. Looks like a sports car. I mean, really elegant looking. He's running, I think, in the seventh race today at Oaklawn. I think it's race seven. And had a lot of trouble at the start of his last race and closed to finish third. I'm still waiting for him to take the jump forward I think he's capable of, but he's very live in that spot and has trained well. And a couple of other horses we're keeping tabs on in the near future. We got a more than ready three-year-old colt with Todd, who actually breezed this morning, maybe 10 minutes after Life is Good work, named Bourbon Ready. And he'll be running at the end of the month at Gulfstream Park on the dirt for the first time. And he's trained really well on the main track. And last but not least, I mean, there's more than just these three horses, but We've got a Quality Road three-year-old who was the sales topper at last year's Timonium two-year-old in training sale. His name's Binko. He sold for $1.5 million, and he's trained by Dallas Stewart. And although it's not etched in stone, it's looking more and more likely he's going to debut at Fairgrounds next Saturday on the 22nd, which is going to be a big day for West Point. I think we may have as many as five horses in on that Saturday card at Fairgrounds. But his sales move, and a lot of people liked him because he sold for seven figures, was one of the best-looking two-year-old sales breezes I've ever seen. And, you know, Dallas isn't necessarily, let me crank them tighter than a rubber band first out and win that first start. It really is about the long game and bigger picture with him. So I don't know if Binko may need a race or two to really kind of get into a sweet spot, but he's a horse I've got really high hopes on, along with Bourbon Ready on the Dirt, and hopefully today at Oaklawn, Magnolia Midnight.
Yeah, and I just looked it up because I have the Oaklawn PPs here. Fourth race at Oaklawn for Magnolia Midnight.
Thank you. Yep.
Faces that tough, what might be the tough Asmussen runner, American Experiment, who had the big debut up at Saratoga. But I like Magnolia Midnight as well, coming off a little tightener at Oaklawn earlier. Dallas, I mentioned it when I handicapped. Dallas had a great 2021. Kind of flew under the radar, but he put together a nice. And you mentioned buying into sales and whatnot. Flightline, of course, a great sales buy right up here in our neck of the woods. So that adds to that story. And I asked Terry a couple of weeks ago, but I'll ask you as West Point and involved with the clients and whatnot. You guys gearing up now for the sales season, the two-year-old sales season will kick off sooner rather than later up in Ocala. And I know you guys are potent players at the sales.
Yeah. It's nice as well. In addition to stepping into West Point on the verge of Flightline beginning his career last spring, West Point, and Terry had told me this in his sales pitch when I was debating whether to give up my job working for the Strana Group and doing the TV and hosting, which I really enjoyed. But West Point does run, for the most part, like a well-oiled machine. And stepping into a company where there's already a fine-tuned system behind the scenes has made my life and job learning sales and just kind of switching careers that much easier. So, you know, to your point, Seth, yeah, we're really amped up and anticipating a strong two-year-old sales cycle beginning with that OBS March sale, which is smack dab in the month of March of 2022. And that will follow. I mean, as far as this two-year-old in training sales cycle beginning in March follows a record setting for the company 2021. I think we syndicated 62 or 63 horses and obviously had some top flight contenders in there, pun intended. Another horse, by the way, is First Captain, who's back with Shug down at Gulfstream Park and just had his first official workout last Monday morning. I went out, or Tuesday morning, one of those days, went out and watched him train. So you can look forward to him coming back and hopefully having a gigantic four-year-old season. I'm kind of hoping, Seth, and not to jinx it and not to anger the racing gods, you know, maybe you got a future Whitney winner with First Captain, and we could take care of the Pacific Classic and then some with Flightline out on the West Coast come Del Mar and Saratoga this summer.
That would be quite the double, absolutely. All right, Jay, again, we've covered a little West Point and got up to date and a little recap, a little preview, a little review, Flightline and the great performance and ideas, some coming up. But let's go over to handicapping now, because, again, you'll be joining the Horse Player Now Buzz Report team, our friend Jeremy Plonk and company. We have Jeremy in quite a bit. We haven't had him in yet for his first Countdown to the Crown appearance, but we have him regularly with the Countdown to the Crown as we go. But the Buzz Report, also a great product from horseplayernow.com. You will join them as a handicapper in a couple of weeks. But I thought we'd get you started with a couple of stakes at Gulfstream today. So let's kick it up with the Sunshine Classic. It is not your father's Sunshine Millions anymore, but still
no.
Intriguing couple of races this afternoon. And the first race, the Sunshine Classic, I'm going to pull up a replay. Sir Ollie is going to win an allowance optional claimer back on December 8th. He'll be the number six horse in here. Sir Ollie and Big Venezuela coming down from Laurel are the horses with the dirt form that you will tilt towards if you don't like Shamrocket going to the dirt. But the Shamrocket just outclassed these even with the surface switch? That's the question mark. Your thoughts on the Sunshine Classic?
No, I think you really summed it up perfectly. The race, Seth, is all about Shamrocket. He's the most accomplished, classiest horse in this Millions Classic, and this is not a, to be fair, and I say this with peace and love, not a vintage Millions Classic field by any stretch, with all due respect. But if he can handle the dirt against that field, he's probably just too much racehorse. I think it really is as simple as that. I did ask Todd, knowing that I would be on with you this morning, I did ask Todd up at Palm Beach Downs, rather, this morning. I said, just give me a little bit of insight there with Shamrocket. And I've seen, actually, the last few weeks, I've seen Shamrocket freeze on the dirt. And it does look like in the morning he's handled the dirt fine. And that was something Todd did note to me, that he's trained pretty well on the main track. And he said, ultimately, in a stake like this, against a field like this, this looked like the spot, the optimum spot to try Shamrocket on the dirt. I like Shamrocket. I liked him. He was still running, and he's a Florida bred, obviously, and was a horse that was getting better and better when I was still doing the TV down at Gulfstream. So I've been a fan of Shamrocket. I can't take a horse like him, even with his decisive class edge on paper. I can't do it. A turf horse on the dirt, it's just not my cup of tea. So the horse we led off with that 1 mile win last time out, is Sir Ollie for Sappy. And that's who I like, simply because he's a very lightly raced, quality road homebred for Peter Vesco. And he's a dirt horse. And it looked like there were no cobwebs or anything last time out, coming off the layoff in that 1 mile win. And he finished up like a horse in that one turn mile race we just checked out, that hopefully wouldn't have an issue going a little further today around two turns and a mile and a furlong.
Yeah, lightly raced, one start off a long layoff. You would think there's still some upside potential there. So, and I'm going to be interested to see where the bettors go in here with the scenario of Shamrocket being a turf horse, but maybe just outclasses them. It's going to be fun to see what the odds are as they go in the gate. And I'm glad you mentioned Palm Beach Downs. I think I referred to Payson before, but there's so many training facilities down there. I mean, you have Palmettos, Payson, but Todd's based at Palm Beach Downs. So let's turn the page now to race number 10, the Sunshine Sprint. I pulled up a replay again, an allowance optional claim or Gulfstream Park, the middle of December. The winner will be number 8, Cool Quest, coming off of that. That one's a player. Solid numbers for Pudding. And Brian Edo was handicapping Gulfstream on the handicappers report earlier today. He thought with the early speed, Pudding may have the pace scenario and his advantage to pick him up late. Gatsby certainly is going to be part of that pace scenario. And on some improving numbers, I thought Legal Deal was interesting as well. Your thoughts in the sprint?
Yeah, I'm with Brian, in fact, Seth, on this race. And, you know, in terms of just, like, flashiness and I think overall speed figures and looking like having some pizzazz in the past performances, Pudding, to me, does not look as good, per se, as Cool Quest off the win last time out with the good number. Gatsby's a hard hitter. And Legal Deal runs and guns and has been sharp for a long time for Carlos David. Those horses, to me, have a little more, again, like razzle dazzle, and they look maybe a little sexier on paper. But the more I looked at the race, I'm going into this Million Sprint thinking something's got to give towards the front end. And Pudding seemed like the fastest, most consistent one-run type off the pace horse in the field. Next to him, and he'll be a much bigger price than Pudding, is Legamo. Don't know about his overall quality and whether he stacks up. In fact, there's probably a good chance he's just not as fast or as good as some of these more experienced older horses in the field. But if this race really starts to, like, the threads are starting to fall apart and bust apart because the fractions are too fast, I thought both Pudding the 2 and Legamo the 3 would take advantage of just being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Legamo can do. Certainly had some promise early in the career, and then they got a little overly ambitious with that one. But it'll be interesting to see what he does this afternoon. Jay, I really appreciate the thoughts on the races. And again, You'll be jumping into the handicapping pool regularly with Horse Player Now Buzz Report starting in a couple of weeks. Pegasus Day, again, a great day to start. We appreciate the handicapping conversation, and good luck on the handicapping ahead again with Jeremy Plunk and Horse Player Now. But again, congratulations to you and everybody at West Point. And again, have to rave about that flight line performance in the Malibu, and looking forward to not only that one in 2022, but the other West Point runners as well. Appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
Absolutely. Always good catching up, Seth, and everybody in that Capital OTB region. I blasted this show with you, I think almost a year ago, when we announced I was taking the West Point gig. And like I said, from being real and being sincere, I've always had, 20 years ago it was the case, I've just always had a lot of support and a lot of friends and the best racing fans on the planet in that location. So I do appreciate the support. It was great seeing so many of you this past summer in Saratoga. And happy new year, everybody. Go Flightline, and best of luck today at the races.
Appreciate it. Jason Blewett from West Point Thoroughbreds, and now horseplayernow.com as well. Appreciate the visit this morning. And just about time to wrap up. I had some more news and notes, but I'll save those. And again, I will remind you the news and notes I hit on earlier that are notable. Santa Anita mandatory pay today because they're expecting $4 million. So you always want to take a look. It's a 20-cent Rainbow Six, just like Gulfstream. Not as popular as it, nowhere is as popular as Gulfstream, because, again, I was amazed last week when, despite the bet being hit on the Friday, the day before the mandatory, they still put $1 million into the pool. So it's not ever as popular, regardless of where you go, as Gulfstream. But they're going to pump it in at Santa Anita today. So they're expecting $4 million mandatory pay at Santa Anita. And don't forget, there's $42,000 in the pool tomorrow at Aqueduct. And again, they're canceled at Aqueduct today because of the cold weather, but expected to be back tomorrow. And the pick six has a $42,000 carryover at Aqueduct. All right, fun show. Little Ren Carruthers with Tampa Bay Downs. They have some nice stakes today. And, of course, our friend Jason Blewett just wrapping up his segment. We took a look at the two stakes at Gulfstream. I'll have both of those tracks in my mix this afternoon on OTB Live. We'll probably do a little, we definitely will do a little Oaklawn as well, and much, much more this afternoon on OTB Live. Don't forget, if you'd like to stop down here at the Clubhouse Racebook today, there's a Play the Board contest. I believe in the control, do you know, are we, is the Play the Board still on? Because normally that would be focused on Aqueduct. So I will alert you. I'll double check on that. I would assume we'll just move it over to another track, but I will double check and alert you a little bit later on when we kick off OTB Live, and we'll be back for that with about an hour, because what's that?
It's moved to Gulfstream.
Oh, okay. I'm being told it has moved to Gulfstream. So there will be the Play the Board contest. Boom. Great. Play the Board contest today. We'll just focus on Gulfstream instead of Aqueduct. And if you've never played before, come down and try it. What happens is there's five races that each have a different kind of a wager. There's a win wager, a trifecta wager, and you fill out your plays at the beginning of the day and hand in the sheet, and then just follow along. And I usually play along as well. I can't win any prizes, but I'll tweet out my play, and it's kind of fun to give it a shot and play and maybe wind up a little free betting money from Capital OTB. Oh, speaking of which, the pick three bankroll yesterday, a little bit frustrating. We played an Oaklawn pick three. And then because we had the Twilight version yesterday, we played a Turfway pick three. And the Turfway pick three, that sequence was just a little kooky. Really all night at Turfway. It would have been a little tough for me to come up with something clever there. But at Oaklawn, I put together kind of a caveman ticket because I thought there was some value. And sure enough, we hit with a $16 horse, a $17 horse, and we were five deep in the last leg. And there was a favorite, a big favorite, that was paying $89. And then our four others were anywhere from $250, I think, up to one of them was $900. A couple were $500. So there was the opportunity to kind of knock it out of the park, and the big favorite took it at $89. So everybody wound up with, there were five players in the bankroll pool, so everybody wound up with, $18, something like that. So a little bit of money for everybody, a little free money via Capital OTB, but it could have been much, much better. It was a little frustrating, that final leg down at Oaklawn. But we'll do it again, that pick three play next Friday as well. We're doing it every Friday throughout the month. We had a pick four bankroll on Thursday. That one kind of whiffed, but that one, there were two pick fours, obviously, at Gulfstream and Aqueduct, and then there was one that was available to us at Fairgrounds. I probably should have hit the Fairgrounds one, but the four between between Aqueduct and Gulfstream, I could have played that all day long, and I wouldn't have hit those. It was those were both a couple of crazy sequences. So unfortunately, we whiffed. But when I get done with these kind of plays, I'll go back and look at the results and see how I did. Could I have constructed the ticket differently? I couldn't have done anything I picked for on Thursday, except at Fairgrounds. I probably could have changed the ticket there a little bit. It didn't pay a whole lot, though. So, but we'll have another pick four bankroll in about a week and a half, 2 weeks from this past Thursday. But the pick three bankroll will be every Friday during the month, as we'll do the Twilight versions that overlap and give you a little intro into Turfway on Friday evenings. Otherwise, we will step back and gear up for this afternoon's OTB Live. Again, no Aqueduct today, but I'll be taking a look at some Tampa, some Gulfstream, and some Oaklawn. There'll be more here on the network as well, as we're underway in just about an hour. Noontime post for Gulfstream. Want to thank Gulfstream for their sponsorship during the championship meet. We always appreciate their support. Gulfstream Park championship meet running through April 3rd. And I think we'll be down this year, back on the road again this year for one of our trips, and we'll visit the Florida Derby at the end of the meet down at Gulfstream this year. Oh, that sounds good. After today, driving in with that minus one on my thermometer this morning. But as I say, if you're inside today, hunkered down, get out the quilt, the comforter, sit on the couch, open up your Capital OTB bet account, and just enjoy the racing with us all afternoon on OTB Live. We'll kick it off in about an hour. I'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.